We'll begin reading at verse number 24 in this chapter. Christ has begun to teach his followers, his disciples. He is setting in a ship, I guess, using one of the fishermen's ships for a podium or a pulpit, if you will. And the folks are gathering there on that little grassy area. I remember being at that place, I believe in 96, and they took us down there to the Sea of Galilee and showed us that place where the people sat. Jesus taught them there, just almost like the way the shape of the landscape is right there is like what we would nowadays call an amphitheater. And sometimes people that do these outdoor plays and shows and things will find a place where the landscape gently slopes upward, and the people were sitting there, some sitting a little higher above another one and someone a little higher above them, so they could see Jesus in that ship there. And also he used that the physics of that for his voice to carry. So all of those things to me are somewhat interesting, but just like you to get the setting of where they were when Jesus began to speak to them in parables, taking things that probably most of those people, I'm sure Christ understood, were from an agriculture type background, and he knew that they had an understanding and a concept of those things, and he could apply that and show them a spiritual truth in that. And so there's a lot of things in that 13th chapter, but I want to pick up down with verse number 24 and talk to you from these verses today. If you'd like to stay and read with us, we'd love to have you participate with us this morning. Praise God. Verse number 24, let's read it together. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. I want to use for a title this morning for this little message, the wise farmer. The wise farmer. Praise God. I believe every one of us who desire to reap a harvest have something that we can learn from this wise farmer. The selection of the field would be one thing. The soil content. Does the field have proper drainage? Is it going to be a plot of ground that is going to produce? You know, sometimes before we plant a crop, we'll have the soil tested to see what nutrients are lacking. And if it's lacking something, we'll buy a supplement and put with it. And any good farmer that wants a harvest. Now, if it don't matter to you whether you have a harvest or not, then you're not gonna take these steps to do these things. You know, the soil prep is so important. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse number 3, he said, for thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up the fallow ground and sow not among the thorns. There's some place that there are some places you don't waste good seed on because it's not going to produce a harvest. But if you want a harvest, if you want to reap something from your labors and your toil and your crop, you must care something about the ground that you're sowing into. Praise God. There seems to me to be a very clear distinction from what Jesus says in this very same chapter, verses 3-9, and what the wise farmer is teaching us in verses 24-30. For in Matthew 13 and verse 3, a sower, how many remember reading that? A sower went forth to sow. Amen. And it seemed to me by reading that, that the sower that went forth to sow was somewhat not as concerned about maybe producing a harvest, because it seems that he really takes no time or concern. It speaks, Jesus does, in that sower that some did fall on good ground and some fell in stony places and some fell among thorns, which, you know, and I want to speak to that right now. You know, we never know when we are bearing good seed. Amen. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There is power in the seed. Sometimes we just at random, we witness to folks, or we speak to people, or we try to do something or sow something good into their life, not really knowing whether or not to expect a harvest. Amen. Some of it did bring forth 100, some 30, some 60. Amen. But it seems to me like there's a clear distinction when we get down to verse number 24, because it is likened unto a man, come on now, which sowed good seed in his field. Amen. Now we're getting some personal property. Amen. We are getting some blood, sweat, and tears, if you will. We're getting some skin in the game. Amen. Here's a man that has good seed, and he wants to sow his good seed in his field. Amen. Not along the wayside, not in a stony place, not just at random somewhere and hope that something good will come of it. But he has a clear goal and intention in mind. Hallelujah. He knows his field is good. He knows his soil, amen, is capable of receiving the power of that good seed. And he knows if he will sow that in faith, he believes that he will have a harvest. Can you say amen? Amen. This would indicate to me that he's not just a good time, part time gardener that's doing something for a hobby. He is a farmer. Amen. And he expects to receive a harvest from what he is putting out. Hallelujah. Amen. One does not have to drive too far. You could probably do this, some of you, on your way home, to drive outside, a little ways outside the city limits. And it won't take you long to see who really is a serious farmer, amen, and who is just doing something because they enjoy it, or they want to help out, or they want to have something good to offer every once in a while. I can tell you one good way, amen, to tell if you drive by a place and there's a $200,000 plus John Deere tractor sitting in the shed out back, you can probably figure this man is probably serious about growing a crop. Amen. Am I helping anybody in the house this morning? Amen. Such is the case as the wise farmer that is in our text. Amen. Others around us may tell by our investment. Are you hearing me preach? Others around us may also tell by our investment whether or not we are serious about growing a crop. Man, I wish I could preach in here this morning. Amen. Your life, your testimony, your investment in going to church, in being in church, in investing in the offerings, amen, and doing everything that you can to make sure we have a successful crop. Amen. Your investment will tell those around around you and close to you. If this man's a serious man, or if he's just kind of a good time, part time, amen, every once in a while, if it works out, if everything's good and I don't have anything else to do, I might go out and plow my field, and I might throw out a few seeds, and I might. But a wise farmer is going to analyze his ground. He's going to take everything out that's not good, and he's going to find good seed and put in his good field and expect God to give him a good harvest. Can you say amen? Hey, I want to talk to you this morning. What are you doing in the Christian walk anyway? Are you expecting a harvest? Or are you just going along for whatever might happen to fall in your path? Amen. Woo, hallelujah. I'm telling you, a real farmer is expecting a real crop, and he is going to invest good seed in his good field to receive a good crop. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I know some of you will remember this name I'm mentioning. Some of you won't. Sister Karen will, Brother Dickie will, my parents will, but I remember, you know, that I was just a child, young, very young, adolescent child going with my grandma to the feed store to buy seed potatoes. And she tells Gus Taylor at the feed store, right there on Hobson, he was our neighbor, you know, in those days, it was a lot different even going that 6, 7, 8 miles to town than it is now, but sometimes we would call Mr. Taylor and he would bring our feed to us. You know, because he was coming by our house anyway. Amen. He owned the feed store. Amen. Praise God. And so we went there and grandma tells him she wants 100 pounds of seed potatoes. Well, I was quite shocked, Brother Galen, when I realized that, I mean, I was expecting to see some seeds, you know, some potato seeds is what I thought. And man, here they come out in a big old gunny sack, tow sack of some kind, 100 pounds. We looked in there, and they just looked like potatoes to me, except they had eyes on them, and some of them were already starting to grow things, you know. And I figured out real quick, it wasn't too long till we was, you know, grandma's garden. I've said it a lot of times, it was like a truck patch. I mean, for us, that would have been like some of the old timers years ago going to the field. I mean, we took water and we took things to go there and stay for a while. Oh yeah, I figured out what that was. You know, she cut them things in chunks and put them eyes, you know, made sure every chunk had an eye in it. We had to strategically place those seed potatoes in the ground with that eye pointing up. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, I see a few folks shaking their head here. You know, there's probably other potatoes. I mean, we probably could have went to Safeway or the grocery store and bought some potatoes and chunked them up and put them in the ground, and some of them probably would have come up and produced. But you see, these seed potatoes were the better kind. I remember asking her about it. She said, well, these are just better potatoes, she said. These are just more powerful potatoes. Well, you know what? Somebody had to grow them somewhere. Amen. And the reason we had those is because somebody was growing something that was going to have the power in it to produce something in another generation. Man, I'd like to help somebody here this morning. Are you a possessor of good seed? Are you a serious farmer? Are you going to hear what the wise farmer in the book of Matthew is telling us and learn from it? The quality of the seed is determined, hear me. I didn't get this out of anybody else's book. I wrote this down last night. The quality of the seed is determined by its ability to preserve DNA of its parents and also have the power to produce a crop after its kind and still pack a punch to deliver another crop at another time. Come on, church, we got to come to grips. grips with this. We must produce after our kind, and we must have enough in us to produce a quality crop and have enough to take it to another generation. Amen. The kind of seed you bear is going to say a lot about the kind of farmer you are. Are you serious about farming? Or are you just going along? Amen. What are you going to do with the good seed that God has given you to sow in your field? That is exactly what this good farmer did. He sowed good seed in his field. I can already tell I'm not going to get nearly where I need to be with this today. I'm probably going to have to find a place to stop off here in a little bit. It just seems like there's so much here. Oh, hallelujah. Look at verse 25. Amen. While men slept. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost, to preach here today. His enemy. Anybody have an enemy? Amen. Let me answer that question for you. If you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you have an enemy. He does not like your field. He does not like what he knows your field has the capability of producing. Amen. Peter said, you have an adversary that goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we must resist him, steadfast in the faith. Amen. While men slept, an enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Amen. You remember Jude talking about evil men that had crept in unawares. Amen. That lying, creepy little outfit. Amen. That stinking accuser of the brethren that wants to come in. Amen. Why don't he go sow his seeds of lesser quality among the thorns and among the stones? Why don't he just go out and dump them somewhere? Amen. That's not what he wants to do. He wants to destroy your crop. And so he brings his sorry wares and his sorry seeds, and he finds a field that has been plowed and that has been smoothed and that has been prepped and that has been protected and has been fertilized. Amen. And watched over. He wants that field. Somebody needs to hear me preach. He's looking at your marriage. He's looking at your children. He's looking at your school. He's looking at your church. Anything you have that is going to produce a crop that's been given good seed, he wants in that field. He intends to be a part of it. And he wants to take over and stop what God is doing in your life. While men slept. That's always when it happens, is while men sleep. I've been in ministry a long, long time, most of my adult life in full-time ministry. I grew up in a home where my parents were in full-time ministry. Most of my life has been in and around full-time ministry. You learn some things. I had somebody ask me a while back, how's things going up there at Bethany? It's been a year and a half or so ago. I said, it's going so good, it's almost scary. Need I explain? Need I explain? Because I know it don't always go good. It don't always go smooth. Amen. So when I am getting a little reprieve and things are going good, Amen. I can't hardly enjoy, Brother Jeff. I can't hardly enjoy success and things going good sometimes. Because, you know why I can't enjoy it? Because I know that I have an adversary. And while I seem like and feel like that things are going good, the reason I answered that question that way is because I know, even knowing while I think it's going good, I have an adversary. You have an adversary. Our church has an adversary. Our Christian school has an adversary. Our outreach ministry, are y'all getting the point? Amen. And there's always that enemy. The more you work on your field, and the more you prepare your field, and the more you sanctify your life, the more your enemy wants to get inside and get in your good ground and put something else in there. It is an enemy that does it. It is your enemy that's sowing those things. And where else do you expect that he would want to sow it? I wish I could preach. Amen. Again, I wish he would just throw them to the wind. I wish he would just take them somewhere else. But he knows something about farming as well. And he lets you do the work. And he lets you do the prep. And he lets you spend the money. And he lets you get everything right. And then he shows up like the sneaking little creeper that he is, and sows his seed in your good field, and highballs it out of there. The next day, nothing looks any different. There's no apparent difference in what has been sowed yesterday or today. The field looks the same. The seeds look the same. Rains come, sunshine, the temperature of the earth warms up. The power of the seed begins to produce. I'm talking about good seed in a good field that belongs to a wise farmer. Brother Galen, even his servants have confidence in his abilities, because he's the one that has to make the say. And one day, now I don't know, I kind of changed my tune after doing a little more line upon line study on this passage yesterday. I always assumed that, because it does say that the blade sprung up. How many remember reading that? Y'all read it this morning. But it also said and produced fruit. So that stunned me somewhat. I was thinking that, you know, y'all seen her. Y'all still working with me? I mean, those seeds start coming up. You look over that field. You can walk around and you can't hardly even see the plants. But if you stand back from the field, you see a green, almost looks like a green haze. And you realize something's happening. And I always thought, and maybe it is, maybe I'm getting off in the weeds a little bit, or off in the wheat, I don't know. But, you know, he goes out and says, look at that one. But I am changing somewhat, because it said it sprang up and produced fruit. And it seems to me at that point, now I don't want to get too much off here, you know, into horticulture, but those like wheat is like other things that has an open stem, and those seeds come up through what they call the boot. Y'all still with me? And even before it comes to a head and sprouts out, you can cut a stalk of wheat and find that pod of seed that is in that stalk that is coming up. Amen. So he realizes that I've got fruit growing here. I know I put good seed in here. Sure enough, look here. Here's the fruit growing in it. Anyway, but it's also at that moment that he realizes there's some other stuff. Boy, I tell you, the Holy Ghost is about to bring us to a place right here. And I got a long, long ways to go. I thought studying this, I'd just blow right through this and make my point would be done. But here the Holy Ghost. Do y'all feel that or is it just me? How many times have you... Now, you know, just think about it for a moment. By the time they're seeing fruit, amen, this farmer hasn't just slept one night or two nights or three nights or a week. He set his alarm many mornings. He's went out and looked over that field several days. A number of times. But his servants show up at the house one day with an alarming report. Wise farmer, did you not sow good seed in your field? Absolutely. See, y'all remember the illustration, seed potatoes. Them kind that have the power to produce a crop and then produce for another generation. Amen. I wonder sometimes what's going to happen to some of us when we wake up and come to the realization our servants bring us a report. Man, I'm sorry to tell you, there is something else growing in your field. And I'm gonna quit worrying about making my points. I'm just going to preach now. If you are watching stuff, if you are reading stuff, if you are participating in things, that is not of the true vine. Come on, somebody. It's going to grow in your field. Amen. There'll be enough of those things growing in your field without you having to put any of those things in there. My goodness. I'm telling you, I feel like doing this right now, but I don't know if it's probably been years since I have, but I feel it right now. Some of the stuff that passes nowadays for country and western music, I would be absolutely ashamed if I had adolescent children to let them hear some of that filth and trash and stuff that is propagated. You say, it's just words, it's just music, it's just beat. No, it's not. There's a powerful seed that is in that. And if it germinates in your field, it will grow and it will produce. And it's not going to be after what you want it to be, my God. Amen. Come on. Whatever you put in your mind, your mind, your brain, your heart is a field. If you put lustful thoughts in there, lustful thoughts are going to grow. Amen. If you put wholesome good things like the Word of God and good songs of Zion, those things also are going to produce and you will reap a harvest of good things. Hallelujah. And there's so many things nowadays to watch and to read and to listen to. I'm going to be honest. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. I'll confess one of my faults right now. I listen way too much sometimes. I'm trying to leave me an out here. I listen way too much sometimes to Fox News. Come on now. Can I get an amen in the house? And I've used it, Brother Ethan, that I need to know what's going on and I need to be aware and I need to be able to speak on it and combat it. And we do. And I'm not saying we need to pull into isolation. But I'm telling you, I've read some about some of those old brethren like Smith's Wigglesworth wouldn't allow a newspaper in his house. The reason, because he didn't want anything in that newspaper to bring doubt. Anything that would bother his good seed in his good field. Now, I'm not preaching against reading the newspaper. I'm at that place in my ministry, I feel like I have to balance every statement because I've said things that people took wrong. And they said, yeah, but the other day you said such and such. And well, I didn't mean it like that. I'm trying to help you to be awake. Can I go back just a minute? While men slept. Amen. You know, wouldn't it be great if we could just, after a hard day's work in the field, just go home and lay down and go to sleep? Wouldn't that feel good sometimes? I'm not complaining, but I've pastored for so many years now. And the only way I can even get a glimpse is when one of my pastor buddies that have pastored a long time are no longer pastoring, and they tell me the difference from when they was and when they wasn't. And I live in that cocoon and that pressure all the time. I don't go home tonight and lay down and go to sleep and don't worry about nothing. I don't take a day or two off and go to the lake house and don't worry about nothing. I don't ever get that opportunity to walk away and leave and not worry about something. Come on now. Why? Because I know I have an enemy. Amen. And your enemy is my enemy. The enemy of my church is all of our collective enemy. And we've got to take our frustrations on him. But oh man, it would feel good every once in a while to take a nap. Before you get too far out and say we can't rest every once in a while for something. You remember the five wise and the five foolish? I used them to kind of help me out here. Even Sister Nikki, even the five wise laid down and took a nap. But while men sleep, it's when that enemy does his horrible work. So we have to say an enemy hath done it. Maybe I need to break this off right here. Somebody get me a song. Man, I've preached. Oh my goodness, I've preached way longer than what I thought I would. And I'm probably not even halfway through. Are y'all hearing me preach now? The hard, cold facts are you have an enemy that is crazy jealous over your field. And if he can't have it, he'll sure trespass in it. While you're trying to get some rest so you can do some more good work, he comes in and messes up your field with his corrupt seed. Amen. Somebody say corrupt seed. While men slept. Boy, I tell you what I think we probably might ought to do is form a mighty band of prayer warriors around here. I just want to tell y'all again, these young people, sometimes there's not but three or four of them, are showing up here on Monday night toiling in prayer. You hear me? They're not all bad. They're not all worldly. They're not all looking for an easier way. There's some that are earnestly seeking God. I tell you what, if you think about it, about 7 or 7:30, they'd be happy for... I'm not trying to put anybody under pressure. I know we ask a lot out of you all the time, but if you just got the evening and you don't have anything to do, man, come on up. Take a tour of waking up and taking your hour to keep an eye on the field. Does anybody think it's worth it? Is your field worth it? Is your good seed that you're putting in, your good field, is it worth losing a little bit of sleep? Woo! Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, come on. Somebody come on and get us a song here. When he messes it up with corrupt seed. Amen. After a while, it will spring up. Verse 26, 27, 28. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Amen. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Your field has a multitude of enemies. We don't need to have a church split over which enemy it is. We need to figure out how we're going to save the crop. Somebody say, save the crop. I said we need to figure out how we're going to save the crop. We can divide and split and have all kinds of trouble over trying to decide what the enemy is and what it was that caused problems. I tell you, the enemies are multiple, and we may not be able to nail it down exactly who it is. And when I say that, I'm not speaking of somebody in the church house. Amen. I'm just talking about what things that the enemy would try to use, amen, to bring discourse and division and discord in our field. My God, we got a field that's worth fighting for. We got a field that's worth missing some meals for. We've got a field that's worth missing, amen, some hours of sleep to pray over, amen, to make sure that our enemy don't get in and sow corrupt seed in our field. Amen. Oh, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. The wise farmer said to let him grow. Let him grow. Maybe I'll take on a little bit more of this evening if the Spirit leads that way. But I may reiterate it, but I'm going to say it tonight. I know, Brother Jeff, if I call names, there'd be people you know that I know that you know, and I, Brother Tommy, would know that I've heard about their ministry when they were young. I heard about the souls that came by the multitudes and got saved. One in particular I'm thinking about right now. I heard the man preach multiple times in my young days. But you know what? Something happened. I can't help but say something happened. What the devil would like to do, he would like to inhibit the strength of what the wise farmer can do, Brother Bruce, by getting us to go over our field with a fine-tooth comb and spend the rest of our ministry trying to dissect the wheat from the tare, the wheat from the tare, the wheat. It wasn't that his motivation wasn't correct. It wasn't that his idea of having a separated life and a separated church wasn't correct. But in his desire to have it so good, the devil rendered him ineffective in doing what God really called him to do. Amen. So when God does begin to work in our ministries and we do start having revival and we do start seeing people saved and we see people's lives change, the enemy's going to come in and try to distract us. Amen. Anybody ever known anybody that was distracted? Even with good things? Distracted with good things that kept them from producing another good crop. Somebody lift your hands in the house this morning. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Are we going to learn anything? Are we going to receive wisdom from the wise farmer? Let's stand all over the house. Man, I don't know what to do. There's such a burden on my heart. It just seems like this happens to me every time I get in the pulpit. Oh, Brother Todd Little, there's an urgency in this generation. That little boy standing beside you is going to grow up so fast. You're not going to realize what's happened. Those children, Brother James, you feel like you're battling with them sometimes. I don't want you to feel that way. They're going to grow up so fast. The enemy will use good things to distract us. I've known of people that wouldn't do what you all are doing with your children. Are y'all hearing me preach? Because it was just too hard and they dropped out of church. They said things like, I'm not getting anything out of it anyway. All I'm doing is wrestling these children. I'm telling you, that's good seed in a good field. Of course the devil wants you to go to sleep. Of course he wants to sow a bunch of other stuff in there through their eyes and their ears, amen, and their understanding and their education. But oh, let me tell you, if you'll stay with it and stay in there, I promise you I can preach over them. Amen. To me, that sounds like growth anyway. It ain't bothering me a bit. I know it's bothering you, but it ain't bothering me. Come on now. I see it as a good field and good seed. And we can't afford to go to sleep. We got to keep on farming. Can you say amen? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we love you today, Lord. I don't understand what you're doing. I don't really understand what you're doing even in this sermon. I thought I would go through it so quickly. There's other points I want to make, things I feel like you've dealt with me about, but I feel sensitive to the Spirit right now, Lord. Oh, Holy Ghost. You know what we need, Lord. You know what we need right now. You know what our needs are right now. You know the needs of every person. You know that struggling mother. You know that struggling father. You know that one that the devil's been talking to. You know those ones that are listening on Spreaker or watching on Facebook that ought to be in church. Amen, but they're somewhere else. I'm talking to you right now. Come on back. You need to be here. Your children need to be here. In Jesus' name, I'm reaching out to you and begging you to reevaluate, amen, the value of your field and your seed. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this service. Everyone that's listening, wherever they are, God, I know you're dealing with people. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Do you know we've had families move to this church, move from states away because they listened? On Spreaker, thank you, Brother Art, for working that ministry. It has actually added a tangible part to our church. Woo. Somebody say, that's a good seed, man. That's a good feel. Hallelujah. Praise God. Man, I just felt the Spirit just speak to me. It just seems like maybe somebody's listening to me right now. Come on back. Wake up. There's still some good seed in your field that'll produce some good things. The longer you stay out and the longer you sleep, the more of those tares is going to show up. It's going to choke out and drown out every good thing God's done in your life. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Sing when you're ready. These altars are open. Come on in. Let's take a little while this morning. Woo, hallelujah.
And true.
Oh, in my fight for the right.
For the right, I would dare and do. Spend my days in my pain.
Oh, Jesus,
all
Jesus,
the journey
Jesus.
Journey through, let me live close to thee each day.
Oh,
let me live close to thee.
Guide me.
Lord Jesus, my Lord and my God, help us here today, Lord. I know God's wanting to speak to our hearts. He's wanting to draw me and you closer. Protect your field. Don't sleep through the night. Amen. Take some time to wake up and realize the value of what you have.
I would work, never shirk. Blessed Lord, for thee. But to know where I go.
closer walk with thee, Lord.
Let me live
close to thee. Guide me,
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
All along the road.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Let me
have your way, oh God. Speak to us today, Lord. Oh, come on, take a look. Evaluate your property. Look at your field. Check out your seed. Make sure it's good seed sown in a good field.
Amen.
It's worth fighting for. It's worth praying over. It's worth losing some sleep over. Amen. It's worth missing some meals over. Praise God. Hey, hey, hey. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I've got a field. I've got good seed, Lord. I've got good things, amen, that you put into my life. I'm praying, oh God, for a bountiful harvest. Oh God, give me wisdom to know how to cultivate. Give me wisdom to know how to preach. Give me wisdom to know how to teach. Amen, oh God, so this field can produce a quality crop, but outcome, amen, not only to sustain us now, but that we may be able to sow another crop in days to come. Amen. Oh God, give us the seed of the Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Ghost to rain upon us. Amen. Help us to believe and trust and understand that it's you.